morning and happy Father's Day. I pray that today is a wonderful day for you, and today we are celebrating the heart of our Father God. You know, it's amazing to me how important the role of the father is, and I know that our culture has been trying to dismantle the importance of fatherhood and trying to redefine the family, but friends, God's word is very clear, and God's word has already defined what the family is. We don't need a redefinition of the family, and we don't need culture to redefine it, man. As Christians, as lovers of Jesus, he's done that for us if we would just simply embrace what he has already has for us. So whatever culture is saying, I'm going to tell you, man, God has something far greater than what culture is saying. And in his word, we find some great truths about fatherhood. You know, one thing that is incredibly important in our journeys with the Lord is training, mentorship, discipleship, all that. I know in my own life, really for the better part of my working career, when I've been in management and leadership positions and all of that, and had some really great opportunities, and I went through a lot, you know, and I had to make tough decisions at times, and doing what you thought was right. But I'm going to tell you, one of the most important things that I felt came my way was the training that I had. I had people who invested in my life. I had people who invested in me as a leader. And you really, training is so important. You know, it's hard to just kind of just flippantly step into a role, and you know, that whole baptism by fire, my gosh, I think we've all been there too. But boy, it helps when you have proper training. You know, when I was a young boy, my dad and I, we used to go out and golf. And when he was first teaching me, I was just a young kid. I didn't know anything about it, but he taught me how to swing a club. He taught me how to grip a club. He taught me how to hit the ball. He gave me this little 9-iron while he was playing and going along. He would just let me whack away at that ball. And then as I grew older, he would begin to show me different things about the swing, and today we still enjoy that, going out and golfing. We don't get to do it as much as what we like, but man, thank you, Dad, for investing in that. But you know, even more importantly, there's all kinds of different things and training that I have had to do with people and people have done for me. I remember, gosh, in athletics and football, there's so many parallels. You can learn things the wrong way very easily, and then you have to kind of, you know, you can develop muscle memory, and then you have to kind of unpack that whole thing. What's funny is when you see somebody who is a baseball player or a softball player, you know, they're trained one way, and if they've never been trained to swing a golf club, they think they're just going to just get up there and just whack that thing a million miles, and it's just hilarious. I've seen so many just whiff the ball over and over. I mean, but you throw a baseball at them, man, they'll knock it out of the park every time. But I tell you what, training is so important. How does this transition? It transitions into the things that we receive in our lives, the nurturing and all of our upbringing. It has a way of shaping and forming mindsets, attitudes, how we perceive life, and even how we perceive God. Our experiences in church life with other Christians, and you know, it could be good, bad, and different. I mean, I'm sure all of us have ran into some of those. But the reality is that even though people misrepresent Jesus, there is a Father in heaven who has a heart for you. And that's what I want to really look at today more than anything. And on Father's Day, as we look at this, I realize that there's a lot of people that didn't experience probably a great earthly father. I had a great earthly father. I had a great earthly mother. They provided for me. They did everything that they could for me. You know, I'm so thankful for the upbringing that I had. But we still have to make our own choices. And the one thing, and John Eldridge, he wrote a book called Wild at Heart. And in that book, he does talk about how everybody has a father wound. Well, what do you mean? You had a great experience? No, everybody has a father wound. Why? Because our fathers are not Jesus, OK? okay? Jesus is the only Father, and our fathers are flawed too, because there are things about our fathers that have limitations. They don't get it right all the time. As a father, I didn't get it right all the time. Oh my gosh, there's so many things I wish I could go back and do over, but I can't. The reality is that I'm flawed, but we serve an earthly Father, or a heavenly Father, excuse me, that is not flawed, and He is perfect in every way. So whatever your impressions were from your earthly father, it's important to understand this, because a lot of times we get our first impressions of the heavenly father from our earthly fathers. So if you had a joyful, loving, nurturing, caring, kind earthly father, it's probably very easy for you to understand God the Father in that way. If you had an abusive or an absent father, a distant father, or a father that was a great provider, but he was never really involved in your life, a lot of times that shapes how we perceive God. We see God as very distant. He really doesn't want to be involved in my life, or he's angry or judgmental or whatever, you know. A lot of times, because of the misrepresentations that we have received in life and from even our parents and different things of that nature, we can pass that on to the Heavenly Father. We have to be careful of that. But it helps us understand maybe why we perceive God that way, or why we have a tendency to view God that way. But at the same time, we have to let God's Word, okay, the Father's heart, be the very thing that defines who He is and how we perceive Him and how we operate in His love. Now, I want to read a scripture to you. There's a couple things. Before I do that, remember this. Jesus said this. He said, I and the Father are one, right? We know that Jesus was the Father personified, okay? He was the Word made flesh that dwelt among us, okay? So the Word of God, okay? The Word made flesh, the Father's heart, okay? His Word expressed through Jesus. So through His Word, we see how Jesus operated, how Jesus interacted with people. We see the love of the Father. We see His heart for people. In Psalm 103, there's an incredible scripture that just is a picture of the Father's heart. It's one of David's psalms, and he's really just bringing a relentless praise to God. And I just love this. But one of the things it says in verse 8, it says that the Lord is gracious and compassionate, and He's slow to anger and rich in love. And it says that He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. So He is a just God. And, you know, there are things that do make Him angry, but He's a very forgiving, loving God, okay? He does not treat us, this is awesome, He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Man, I don't know about you, but we all got things in our lives. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. All of us deserved death, but man, thanks be to God. Jesus went to the cross for you and for me. And then listen to this in verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. Isn't that amazing? What an incredible, incredible picture of the Father's heart. So sometimes we have to reprogram our mindset, our thoughts, about how we perceive God and how we view God, simply because we've just had some misrepresentations of who He is. And let's face it, sometimes that comes from our own fathers, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it just comes from interactions with other Christians, house father, whatever you want to call it. But the reality is that I want to focus on the heart of the Father today. So one of the first things that we see, and I just want to read this if in the opposite sense, okay? This is the antonym of that verse. The Lord is stingy and unforgiving, hot-tempered and hateful, abusive and relentless, always reminding us and accusing us of our failures and shortcomings. Friends, that is the way of the world. That's the way of the accuser. And some of us, I would gather, at one time or another, have experienced some of that. But the reality is that's not the heart of the Father for you and for me. That is the heart of our enemy, our adversary, Satan himself, trying to discredit the work of the Father and trying to get us to think of God in a way that is absolutely not who He is. We see God in this verse as gracious. grace, we know, forgives and pardons and does all those incredible things in our lives. It washes us clean. It redeems us. It makes us into new creations in Christ, right? But the reality is that not only does it do that, but it empowers you and I to live a life for God that doesn't have to be bound by our sin and our past and all the things that we once did. I don't know about you, but that's a place to say hallelujah. That's a great place. I love that about God. He is gracious. The Father is gracious. Secondly, the Father is compassionate. He is always compassionate. It's not based on how well you and I perform. It's not based on whether we get it all right. He sees treasure in us. Why does he see treasure when nobody else does? Man, when the world wants to just throw us away and kick us to the curb, God sees absolute value and treasure in you and in me. Why? I think the answer is clear. Because he made us. Because he created us. Because he knit us together in our mother's womb. In fact, it says, it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. That's Psalm 100, verse 3. Isn't that just amazing? The God of the universe, the God that created all things, created you and created me, and he created you with a purpose, he created you with a plan, and he created you as his masterpiece, as Ephesians 2:10 tells us. It's amazing if we can just grasp that. So we see that God is gracious, he is compassionate, he is slow to anger, he's not hot-tempered, he's not quick-tempered. Hallelujah, thank God for that. I don't know about you, but man, sometimes I battle that in my life. Woo! It's difficult. But I'm going to tell you, God gets a hold of that thing and he changes us, and it's just amazing what he can do. He is abounding in love. Hallelujah. Compassionate and abounding in love. Romans 5:8 says that while you and I were still in our sin, Jesus Christ died for us. The Father gave so that you and I could have a relationship with him and be in a rightful standing with him. I think that is just amazing, amazing, amazing. That's Romans 5:8. So we see that he's gracious, he's compassionate, he's slow to anger, he's rich or abounding in love. How about this one? He's the giver of good gifts. Wow. What's one of the first things that Jesus did? He said to the disciples, he says, go and tarry in Jerusalem because there's something powerful that the Father wants to give you. He wants to give you the mighty baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's going to rock your world and it's going to change your life forever. And it was a precious, precious gift from the Father. Isn't that awesome? I just think that's incredible. In Luke 11:11, that's where it talks about if a son comes to you and asks for a loaf of bread, who of us is going to give him a scorpion or something that's going to hurt him? God is the giver of good gifts. In fact, in James 1:17, it says that every good and perfect gift comes from above, the Father of lights. Wow. He is the giver of good gifts, and he wants you and I to experience all the treasures that he has stored up for us. We just need to spend time with him. And it's not that he's a genie in a bottle up there, but he wants to lavish his love, gifts of mercy, gifts of empowering grace, gifts of just relentless love. Man, praise, worship, all the things that fill our hearts with joy. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. He wants you and I to experience the gift of his presence on a daily, daily basis. I don't know about you, but that excites me. So here's the other thing, and the last thing I really want to talk about. He keeps no record of wrongs, and he always welcomes us home. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he has removed our transgression from us. Now, I don't know about you, but man, I ran for a long time in my life. I ran hard from God. I had a great example. I was brought up in church, but you still got to make it your own. And I chose not to make it my own for a long time in my life. And I suffered. I suffered the consequences of choices and just difficult things that I went through in my life and still do to this day. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're never going to make a mistake and you're never going to fail or you're never going to stumble, but you get back up and you keep going for Jesus. Doesn't mean that you always do everything right, because you don't. The reality is this: God has a purpose and a plan for you. And His purpose and plan, even when we're running from Him, He's relentless. He's relentless in His pursuit of us because He loves us. Because He does see the treasure that nobody else can even see. And I just want to say this, and this is something that the Holy Spirit showed me. Sometimes, if you read in Luke chapter 15, it's a beautiful picture of the prodigal son and the heart of the father for the prodigal. But it says in there that while the prodigal was a great distance off, that the father ran to him. See, here's the thing. Sometimes we may see ourselves as incredibly distant and incredibly far from God. But God the Father has a way of shortening that distance. Why? Because when we were running from Him, He was running towards us, shortening the distance. And oftentimes when we turn around and we come to the end of ourselves and we come to our senses and we turn around and we realize the Father's right there. I think that's a beautiful picture of the heart of God. He is gracious. He is compassionate. He is slow to anger and abounding in love. He gives good gifts to His children. This is the Father's heart for you and for me. And I don't care who has misrepresented God the Father to you. It could have been an earthly father. It could have been somebody in the church. It could have been somewhere along the line. This is the truth of who the Father is and who He wants to be to you. His love for you is never ending. It's unfailing. He is faithful and enduring and trustworthy when nobody else in life is. That's the God that you and I serve. That's the Father that we celebrate today, this Father's Day. So friends, I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to embrace His grace. Embrace His compassion for you. Embrace His abounding love for you. Embrace the gifts that He wants to lavish upon your life. Embrace the fact that while you were still in your sin, He was running towards you. He was calling you by name. Hallelujah. Fathers, specifically, we are called to be image bearers. And whether you have been a great example or not is really irrelevant in this moment. What is relevant is that if you recognize your shortcomings like I do every day of my life, sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm just saying, man, who is this guy? But the reality is I am a son first. I am God's son. And in Him, I am complete. In Him, I can do all things. In Him, I can be the Father and I can love people the way that He has called me to love them. You see, I was bound in sin. But God. Hallelujah. But God. So I want to encourage you today. Embrace His love for you. Be the Father that He's called you to be. Think about that. God bless you. I'm praying for you. I love you. And again, happy, happy Father's Day.